trust God that you as an individual, that God has a plan for you. And it's not like his plan for anybody else. And God knows what he's doing. He's got a purpose. He's got a reason. God doesn't do bad things, but he can work good out of bad things if we trust him to do that. I want to talk to you tonight about what to do when you're hurting and what not to do when you're hurting. Because when you're really hurting, it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of self-control to do what you know you should do and not just do and say what you feel like doing and saying. Now, no discipline for the present seems joyous. Nevertheless, later on, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And self-control means we control ourselves. We don't do it without God's help. He's already given us the grace to do it. God never tells us to do anything that he doesn't give us the grace to do. So anything that you see in the Word that you're to do, the grace is there. All you need to do is receive it and say, God, help me. I want to make a statement tonight, and I'm going to make it a few times. And if you don't remember anything else that I said on this Friday night here in Atlanta, I want you to remember this. If you can learn how to do the right thing while you're hurting, and you do it long enough, there's no devil in hell that can keep you from the palace. But we have to learn how to do what's right while we're hurting. We have to learn how to do what's right while it still feels wrong. And we have to learn to do what's right when right things are not happening to us. You know, sometimes you have to treat somebody right for a long time before they start treating you right. Learn to do what's right while you're hurting. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. When we're hurting, we need to do what we would do if we weren't hurting at all. We need to behave the way we would if everything in our lives were going exactly the way we wanted them to. Come on now. You're not looking too excited. Well, I can't help it. I can't help it. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You know, I learned a lesson many years ago about what I could do and what I couldn't do if I really wanted to. It's amazing what we can do if we really want to. And years ago, when my kids were little and I was still such a frantic mess, I would get upset about things that had nothing to do with my children, and then I'd get frustrated with every little move that they made. If they made one little mess, and I'd go into one of my fits, I'll get this mess done. And then, of course, I'd feel bad and say, oh, I just can't help it. I lose my temper, and I've just got so many problems, and I just can't help it. And one day, I mean, God actually showed me a vision. We were going to a church, and I really liked the pastor. And, you know, of course, you always want to have favor with your pastor. And he was letting me preach once in a while, and so I really wanted to have favor with him because he had the power to open a few doors for me. And I just had this vision of me being in one of those fits and the pastor ringing the doorbell. Let me tell you something. I would have gotten over it so fast, it would have made your head swim. I know what I would have done. Gone to the door, open it. Pastor, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. It's so good to have you come over today. Oh, yeah. Oh, the kids. Oh, they're just playing back in their rooms. Sweet little darlings. And you know really what I learned from that? Let me tell you something. If any one of us is around somebody that we want to impress, come on, would you do in front of me some of the things that you do at home behind closed doors? No. It'd be amazing how much self-control you would suddenly find and be able to operate in. And so we have to own our behavior and take responsibility for it And stop acting like I can't help it. I'm just out of control. God has given us the fruit. It is in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of self-control, and we can operate in it if we really want to. Pain can rule our behavior if we're not careful. So I have 12 points here that I'm about to unload on you. You think you can handle it? First point, when you're hurting, don't go wild and counterattack with intemperance. When we're hurting, we often don't want any boundaries in our life. Well, bless God, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Come on now, you're going to get this. I'm going to eat anything I want to eat. Well, what good is that going to do you? You're just going to gain weight and then be mad at yourself tomorrow. I mean, that's not getting the devil back. That's not helping you get out of your pit. That's just digging the pit deeper. Well, I'm going to buy anything I want to buy. I'm just going to go shopping and I'm going to buy anything I want to buy. I'm just going to say whatever I want to say, and I'm going to act however I want to act, and I don't care who likes it because I'm mad. Come on, anybody with me? Boy, if we can control our mouth when we're hurting. Can anybody feel the pain right now? If we can just control that mouth when we're hurting and not say how we feel, but say what we know God would want us to say. Woo, come on, somebody shout. Wow. Oh. When you feel like having a fit, but instead you thank God for something. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're so good to me. Thank you, God, that I can put my trust in you and trust you to take care of this problem. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Number two, don't withdraw, hide, and isolate yourself. Pout, sulk, and have a pity party. And then get yourself depressed because you're in a pit, you get in another pit. How many years did I sit around and feel sorry for myself? Oh my gosh, what a waste of time and energy. God finally told me you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both at the same time. And I'll just share that with you tonight. If you ever want to get to the palace, you have to stop feeling sorry for yourself. And one of the things that helps us is to realize that we are not the only person on the planet that's hurting. And I can assure you that no matter what you're going through, there is somebody else that's going through something worse than what you're going through right now. I mean, that's just the absolute truth. It doesn't do any good to feel sorry for yourself. Number three, don't believe the lie that God is punishing you for some former sin in your life. Wow. Well, I think this is punishment for the abortion I had 20 years ago. Well, I think this is punishment because I used to be a prostitute. Oh, nonsense. That's not the business that God's in. When God forgives us, which he does when we ask him, the Bible says that he remembers our sin no more. So like I said last night, stop going to God moaning about things that God's already forgotten. Stop remembering what God has forgotten. And don't let the devil tell you that lie. Well, God's mad at me now and he's just punishing me. And, you know, I'll never really be able to get over the things that I've done wrong in my life. Number four, don't blame God and get mad at him. And, you know, this is going to sound strange, but there's probably people, even though you came here tonight, you're just a little bit miffed at God. Just a little. You just kind of just got to just kind of like, well, I don't know if I can trust you or not, God. Well, I'll tell you something. You can't trust God to give you everything you want. But you can trust God to give you the very best that he has in mind for you. our disappointments don't come from God. They come from us wanting God to give us what we want. And then when we don't get what we want, we get mad at God because he didn't work according to our plan. Don't be mad at God. He's the only person that can help you. Don't blame God for your problems. Number five, when you're hurting, don't give up and think there is no way out. Don't ever think there's no way out, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Number six, don't passively accept injustice. Fight it. And fight it with the one thing that the devil hates. Now listen to this. While you're in the middle and you're hurting so bad that you feel like you can't stand it, instead of sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, having a bad attitude, do all the good that you can possibly do for as many people as you possibly can, as often as you possibly can. There is no way to defeat the devil, no better way to make him miserable. How many of you want to get the devil back for what he's done to you? All right. Well, the only way you can do it is to do as much good as you can possibly do. The only way to overcome evil is with good. Every single time that I help a human being, I'm giving the devil a black eye for what he did to me in my childhood. I mean, you're not going to get the devil back by hating everybody that hurt you. You're not going to get him back by having a bad attitude and spending your life feeling sorry for yourself. You're not going to get him back by being jealous of everybody else who's not going through the things that you're going through. Trust God that you as an individual, that God has a plan for you. And it's not like his plan for anybody else. And God knows what he's doing. He's got a purpose. He's got a reason. God doesn't do bad things, but he can work good out of bad things if we trust him to do that. That's your victory. Come on, give God a shout. Now, a few practical things that I think are extremely important, because there's some things happening today that really annoy me. And we've lost sight of some principles that at one time in my life were very important and are still very important to me, but they don't seem to be too important to a lot of other people. Number seven, when you're hurting, keep your commitments. Keep your word. Do what you told people that you would do. If you said you'd work in the nursery at church and you had a bad week, you get up and you don't feel like going, that's when you need to go. That's when you need to say, I will in no way break my commitment. I don't have to feel like keeping my word to go do it. I am so weary of people who don't do what they say they're going to do. I'll call you back and you don't hear from them. Oh, you can count on me and they don't show up. You make an appointment. You take the day off from work to stay home for them to show up. They just don't show up. They don't call, nothing. Oh, something came up. Can I tell you something? Honestly, this is one of the biggest problems that we have in our society today. We have to get honor back. We have to be honorable people who do what's right because it's right. And we don't just do what's right because we feel like doing what's right. We do it because it is right. Be not weary in well-doing and doing the right thing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Galatians 6:9. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Will you make a decision tonight that from now on you are going to be a person of your word? And before you stick your hand up there, you better think about what you're saying. Now, there are times when we say we're going to do things and it's just as impossible to do it. But at least then make a phone call and tell people this has come up. Don't just make some silly excuse. If there's any way you can do it, do it. But if you absolutely can't, at least communicate. I am telling you, you'll just have to excuse me for a minute, but I am so annoyed with this stuff. And I just cannot stand to deal with people who don't keep their word. God is a man of his word. He keeps his word. He is not a man that he should lie. And if God says he will do something, then he will do something. And we represent him. And if anybody should keep their word, Christians should keep their word and do what they say they're going to do. Hang on to your integrity. It's in these times that we build character. It's in these times that we mature. Do you know when you're hurting so bad you don't feel like you can stand it? And you still go and you keep your commitments and you do what you know God would have you do? Even though you just want to run off somewhere and have a screaming fit. Boy, you might as well say, I am growing spiritually right now. Ooh, I am growing, growing, growing. And after today, I'm going to be one day closer to the palace. Amen? You don't get to the pit, from the pit to the palace, without going through the middle. You don't get there without going through the middle. We all have to go through the middle. And tonight, I'm saying, how are you going to act in the middle? And really, to tell you the truth, how you act in the middle partially determines how long it's going to take you to get there. So we might as well just straighten up and act right quick. You know what? When you've been around a lot of years and you've walked this journey, I look back now and there's so many things that I understand that I wish I could just unzip you and cram you full of and zip you back up and send you out. But you know what? They don't mean anything to you if you don't go through them yourself. The best that we can do is encourage you to not give up and maybe hopefully try to explain to you some of what you're going through. Because at least if you understand what's happening, you're more likely to not quit and give up. So I'm telling you, when you're hurting, that's the time more than any other time in your life when you need to do what's right. Yes. Anybody can do what's right when everything feels good. But there's not a lot of people that can do what's right when everything seems to be going wrong for them. And you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we never have a bad day or we never have a disappointing time. But, you know, you can shake that stuff off and get right back in step with Jesus pretty quick if you really understand the real dangers of just wallowing around in that kind of stuff. I don't have time to waste any more days of my life feeling sorry for myself. You know, Daniel was a man who kept his integrity. He had made a commitment to God about something, and when he was brought into the king's house, he was ordered to do some things that would have been against his commitment to God, and he boldly, at the cost of what could have been his life, went and got permission to still keep his commitment to God. Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife started wanting to have sex with him, he held on to his integrity as a man of God. And he said, no, I won't do it. No, I won't do it. And because he did what was right, he didn't immediately get a reward. I want you to hear this. He did not immediately get a reward. What he got was 13 years in prison. And you might think, well, that's not right. That's not right. You know what? God had him right where he wanted him for a reason that only God knew. And while he was in that prison, he met a butler and a baker. And when they needed a dream interpreted, he was able to interpret it because he was a man of God. And then when they went back to the king's house, they forgot about Joseph for a long time, but then The king had a dream that needed interpretation, and they remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams, and the king sent for him, and he came and interpreted. You know, being in the right place at the right time. Sometimes we don't like where we're at, but God's got us in the right place at the right time for a right reason, and we just need to say, God, I trust you. Come on. Boy, how many places I look back, I mean, I won't get into telling you the situation, but I was in one situation that, oh, God, I hated it. I hated it. I mean, every day that I showed up, I felt like my guts were coming out. And I so wanted to get out of there. But I knew that God had not released me yet. Why, God? Why? When, God? When? Come on. But when God was ready, when God was ready, and a lot of other things were in place, then he released me, and things started happening very fast for us. Don't ever run away from something hard just because you don't want to be there. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust, and on him I will lean and rely. I will say of the Lord. What do you say of the Lord when you are in trouble? You say out loud, God, I trust you. I trust you. I'm hurting so bad I don't feel like I can stand it, but I trust you. God, I trust you. The Bible says about Jesus when he was hanging on the cross, it's recorded in 1 Peter 2:23, that he trusted himself and everything to God who judges fairly. I have that scripture imprinted on the wall of my office. He trusted himself and everything to God who judges fairly. God is a fair judge. He is a God of justice. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Now the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. There's no amount of our good works that can ever make up for our sin. We have to go to him through the one who was sinless, who took our sin upon himself, who died in our place, took our punishment that we deserved, paid the debt that we owed, took the keys of hell and death away from Satan, rose victoriously, and is now seated at the right hand of God, who shed his blood for us. And what Christ has done is available to every one of you. But when we enter into a relationship with God, it's the greatest exchange in the whole world that takes place. We get to give him everything we have, and he in turn gives us everything that he has and everything that he is. Do you want to trade your sin for his righteousness? Do you want to trade your misery for his peace? Do you want to know that you have a future? Do you want to have a best friend that will never leave you nor forsake you? If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he did what he has said that he did, then he will forgive your sins. He will come to live in you. God loves you. And that's what you're looking for anyway. Unconditional love. if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved.